We going live. So we live, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Welcome to STK, Surviving the Knicks.
STK, right, guys.
STK, give it up. My brothers, we've been making big moves this week. I don't know whether it was the pastrami sandwiches or the amazing, you know, the amazing Coach B Kemba support or I don't know.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know what's going on.
But it was definitely the pastrami.
We appreciate the love that you guys out there have been given. You know, we passed the 100 subscriber mark on YouTube. You know, it seems like sky's the limit for my brothers. So definitely hit them up on IG. Hit them up. You know, don't do too much crazy stuff in their DMs. Maybe Coach B. Coach is with that. Coach is with that. But you know, but nah, let me stop.
Listen.
But
no press is the only bad press.
So anyhow, tonight we got a great show for y'all. We got Ed Dollars in the building. Ed, what's going on, my brother?
What up? If you send me a DM, let me know if you want your pastrami on just regular rye bread with mustard, or if you drop the lettuce, the tomatoes, the cheese on it, make it into a sandwich. These pastrami places are ridiculous.
Oh man, the pastrami advertisements. I don't know, man. We should be getting a check because we've been pushing pastrami. I don't know. I don't even know if I should be saying that like that, but whatever.
I was ready for the pause. I was wrong.
Pastrami.
Which kind of pause, but you know. What goes on?
I don't know the rules when it comes to pastrami, so I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, Coach B, help me out. What's going on, brother?
Shout out to my team, varsity teams in the Nice Ace tournament. So they made the citywide tournament. Shout out to them. Boys JV took an L last week. It was tough by 2 points, but you know, hope everybody's doing well. And let's talk about this stretch coming up, man.
Definitely.
Games Coach, in that 2-point loss, was there a situation where you had the last shot?
Oh yeah.
They have the last shot.
Yeah, we had the last shot, 10 seconds. No timeouts. So don't ask me any more questions, please. That's it. Go watch the film. If you want to know what happened, go watch the film. If you need to stream, hit me up. But yeah.
Oh man.
Yes, okay.
It's a sensitive topic. So but just know that them boys played their butts off. And you 100%. Know what? Listen, man, it's not what you lose, it's what you win.
That's it.
They'll be back. So don't worry about it. Hold your head. Hold your head, young man. And last but not least, the infamous Wall Street Heck. What's going on, Wall Street?
I just want y'all to know that I'm not having technical difficulties with my background. I just want everybody to see what great taste I have in curtains. See these beautiful mustard curtains, and that's the only and Ed, you see these beautiful mustard curtains. That's the only thing that goes on a pastrami sandwich, right? Mustard, nothing else.
Yeah. Listen, man, Ed is bougie.
Oh, hot
man.
Sauce.
He's got to add the extras. He needs the extras. I do admit,
always.
You got to have the toasted bread. I'm a fan of the toasted bread.
So are you going to give me a pastrami sandwich on like regular wobbly bread? It like crumbles and it falls off my mouth. Come on, man.
Whoa.
Oh, man. That's not cool. All right. Yeah, so moving along.
Yeah.
So
our pass.
The next second half of the season starts this Friday. Starts off against Miami, and it's in New York. Then they play Philly, right, on Sunday, the following Sunday, followed by a Wednesday game against Philly in Philly. Then, you know, I'm sorry, but they play Phoenix in Phoenix on the following Friday. Then they got the Clippers, Sacramento, and Dallas, right? That's the stretch, the beginning stretch.
Jesus. ready to come out to break.
It's tough. It's a tough start, but I mean, at this point, it is what it is, right? What are your expectations for the second half? And I want to start with you, Ed. What are your expectations? What are your thoughts? Like, what do you think the Knicks should be trying to do or get out of this?
Well, we got 23 games remaining, right? We're sitting at 25-34. We're entrenched in the 10th seed of the playoff of the standings. We're not even in the play-in. So I hope that Leon Rose, Scott Perry, whoever has to, Worldwide West, had a heart-to-heart with Tibbs and really looked in the mirror and kind of said, you know, what are our expectations? We need to identify and analyze the remaining roster. We need to see who is available for us. We can't be playing Randall 37, 38 minutes a game. We played Randall, Burks, Kemba a ton of minutes, and it led us to a 25-34 record. I think it's time to trim down the minutes on Julius, for instance. I want him to continue playing, but I think a 30 mark or a 28 minute mark is sufficient. Have Obi play the rest. They made a news announcement today that the guys tweeted out Kemba is going to sit the remainder of the season, which is good. But what would be bad if Burks was the point guard in this spot? Burks is not a point guard. We know that. He can't break down the defense. He can't create off the dribble. I think it's time to kind of get, you know, quickly in as a point guard, you know, see what Deuce has to offer. Allegedly, Derrick Rose is coming back. I kind of feel bad for Derrick Rose. We should have traded him to a contender at the deadline, but whatever. I want to see more minutes out of Grimes. I want RJ to come back from that ankle injury that he sustained by playing 38 minutes in a blowout loss and being in the game with like 20 seconds to go when we were down by 20, no need for it. And I really want to see like Jericho Sims. I want the new blood to come in. I think New Orleans Noel needs to also sit down and he needs to be remanded for like 10, 11 minutes a game, not more than that. Mitch, I want him to continue his dominance. So the 23 games we have remainder, irrespective of who we play, you know, if we win half those games, we still have a losing record. If we win half those games, we still don't get in the play-in. So it's going to be a hard, hard journey for us. I kind of went through the remaining part of the schedules, and I was given wins, you know, arbitrarily to us when we play like the Pistons, the Wizards of the worlds, you know what I'm saying? Like the trash of the trash. The problem is in those 23 games, we don't play many trash teams. We play tough teams. The Cavs are not trash anymore. You know what I'm saying? The Mavs are not trash. We're playing some tough teams, and it's going to be hard, hard, hard to watch the Knicks. I'm hoping these guys came, you know, had a come to Jesus moment. You know, I hope RJ's back, but I'm really concerned. You know, Tibbs is allegedly he was a great defensive coach, but he's not playing. He's not coaching the style of defense that works in the modern NBA. You got to give up the middle. You got to contest the three. You can't just protect the paint. And that's one of his fundamental tenets is his defense. Drop coverage. That's not working anymore. Last year was an aberration where we were giving up the threes and our opponents were not making the shots. And if you saw any statistician, any analyst, they said, are the Knicks good or are they lucky? And they all bet that we were lucky and they were right. So, you know, a couple things could occur. We could play well, maybe win half the games, maybe get in the play-in, and it'd be fool's gold, just like Jeff Van Gundy said in the last telecast. We could play our vets hard and then fire Tibbs because we'll be in the same spot that we were. Or we can let the kids ride, see what we got, get some good draft position, and then build for the future and possibly get ready to trade Julius for Zion. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, mute.
But my expectations
You lost me there.
My expectations so are that the Knicks are not going to do any better in the second half than they did in the first half.
Hey, man, sometimes the truth hurts.
Wall Street.
Hit him with that pastrami knowledge.
Go ahead at that green curtain. Mustard.
Those, What was
that spicy green right there?
Yeah, I'm thinking of a center. He was probably arguably the biggest bust of all time. Man, it's a recent
couple.
Greg Oden.
There you go. Michael Greg Jordan.
Greg Oden.
Hey, listen. Zion is drawing Michael a Greg Oden comparison.
Candy.
Reach.
Oh, Candy was bad too. Yeah. Okay.
Zion.
He was trash.
Hey, Zion is drawing some of those biggest bust in NBA history conversations.
I don't know,
and
man.
It might be.
He played three more games than Greg Oden in the same amount of time span that they were quote unquote.
I don't know.
I think conspiracy theorists believe though that he's once out of New Orleans regardless. Never really wanted to go there, and so he's really just trying to kill his stock there, or at least sever ties, and then, you know.
Who wants a guy like that?
Yo, let me just say one thing, and then I'll yield the floor.
I hit the button.
Remember that Zion is a CAA client. Leon Rose was the head of CAA. Mm-hmm. If Zion is damaged goods, he's going to know. But if he's not, he's going to know.
Man, please, guys.
Let me tell you something else about Leon Rose. Now, Tibbs was Leon Rose's guy. So now Leon Rose got to go to the big room in the top of the building and explain to the big boss that he was wrong about Tibbs. So it's either that, you know, or you know,
Worldwide West already told him.
Yeah. You know, so I'm sorry, the Knicks are looking worse. We might be in the worst situation that we've been in the last decade. Coming off when you think about your coach, when you think about last season or the last two seasons, you know what we had? We had young talent that we didn't know what we were gonna get from them, and cap space. You know what we don't have? You know, and we had picks. You know what we don't have anymore? Now we know what we got. We know what we got. The rest of the league knows what we got. So we don't got any trade. We don't got any anything to trade. You know what I'm saying? And I love Julius Randle, but I thought that if you were going to trade him, you were going to trade him coming off of last season. Now you stuck with him. At least the only mistake that the Knicks didn't do with Julius Randle was they didn't throw the biggest bag that they had at him possible. You know, they kind of held back a little bit. But he did get paid. You know what I'm saying? But for me, we in worse position than we were, you know, last 10 years. This is horrible. At least we knew what we were going to get. Now we got no cap space. We got more of these contracts that are absolutely useless. Kemba Walker officially has the greatest, you know, job in the world. He's done. He doesn't have to do anything, and it's gonna be on the Madison Square Garden paid book.
I think Allen Houston's still getting paid, so he has the greatest job ever.
I don't know. Joakim Noah might be still getting paid at this point, but you know, the Knicks got a lot of bad contracts, a lot of old bad contracts. They finally got some of those contracts. They finally let some of those contracts go, and now we got more bad contracts. And you know me, I'm not a contract guy. I don't really look at the numbers. I'd like to just sit down and watch the game. But the product is horrible. I don't know if RJ Barrett is an all-star. I cannot say definitively right now that RJ Barrett in the next 3 years is going to be an all-star. I cannot say that. The most I could have said was last year, I don't know. At the end of this year, the answer is the same. I don't know. And it's not looking good. He's looking like, you know, he's looking like an okay basketball player, not the number two, you know, guy on a team that's looking to take the East. Definitely not. You know, now we're going to be paying Evan Fournier. We're going to be paying, and now we're going to look at Zion Williams, that is like a car with two flat tires at this point.
This is Ed's fault.
You know, this is it's bad. Knicks fans, I'm ready. It is bad. Go ahead.
So hold on, coach. Hold the clip. Yo. Got you. Because we know it's loaded. So Kanal's on with us. And a couple other fans just said, what's up? But Kanal said, Worldwide West really runs the Knicks, which is why he talks to Dolan and not Leon Rose. And then he's also, in response to your bad contract statement. He says that we got expiring contracts for teams that want cap space in 2023 or whatever. I mean, I definitely dig the World Wide West statement, because he was a signing. He was one of the major signings the Knicks made in the offseason that wasn't player related, but we've yet to see what that actually is gonna show. Go ahead, coach. Let him have it. Stick him up.
First, again, Zion, very similar to Ben Simmons. Yo, I understand that, you know, it's a business. You're trying to force your hand, but do you really got y'all like that on your team? Because if he can do it to them, what makes you think he's not going to do it when he get here? And, like, again, the New York media just choose people out, man. Like, this is joint not for everybody. Like, if you're not built for it, like, you can't handle what's going on over there and it's quiet. You're definitely not going to be able to handle it over here. I believe we still have talent. Contracts are shaky, but again, we're stacked at positions, and that's why one of the main reasons Kimba isn't playing. It's not like Kimba is a bad fit. He's just not the right fit. Like, he actually had a decent stretch with Julius Randle going into All-Star break. And the last two games, I think, were like pretty well as far as like him shooting the ball and like just being a part of the offense, even though he didn't play late because obviously Tibbs tries to run a defensive lineup. Overall,
didn't have a good 59 games. He had a good two game stretch, but not a good 57 game stretch.
Oh, overall, thank the coach. I'm always gonna blame Tibbs, no matter what. Overall, this unit is not a playoff unit because they just like Tibbs. I don't know, man. Something's going on in the locker room. Something's going on with the coaching staff, but like the pieces don't fit, so it's not a playoff unit. I think SportsCenter posted that we had like the fourth hardest remaining schedule. So that makes it like even more, you know, impossible to like get through. So I'm not saying tank, but definitely build. If you're gonna run the starting five and it's gonna be the same starting five next year, then whatever, Tibbs, keep running it. Tibbs, keep running it until either you lose your job or, you know, something else happens. Because like that's the best we can do right now is build chemistry between the unit that we have. Julius Randle, I think, could be a piece that goes to a mid-tier kind of contender, you know, if Cleveland wants to take a chance, I don't see why not. If the Bulls want to take a chance, make him their sixth man, I don't see why not, you know, like, and like, I'll take the bare minimum for Julius Randle. Like, you can send scrap. And you know, we'll do it that way. Yeah, definitely opening up space to see Jericho Sims, you know, and more Quentin Grimes and more Cam Reddish and more OB, of course. OB should be priority number one. Get OB on the floor for at least 25 minutes a game should be priority number one the rest of the way. And we'll see how that works out, especially because Tibbs ain't going to play. And then from there, we have a draft pick, so we can package that top 10 lottery pick and, you know, whatever else we have to help thin out the roster a little bit, because now we're oversaturated with guys that kind of do similar things and no one's excelling or exceeding expectations where it's helping us. So RJ Barrett, I hope you can become a winner in the stretch and get Obi on the floor, in short.
Yo, shout out to Obi for winning the dunk contest.
Yeah, shout out to Obi. That's why I got him in the background. But Kanal called Tom Thibodeau the tank commander. he said Randle, he said capital letters, Randle fits with Ingram and McCollum.
Absolutely.
So I mean that may be a destination. You never know. I think at this point you gotta work on something.
You gotta have an exciting lineup.
That would
be Cam Reddish, RJ, and Zion.
Yeah.
You know, when Zion was on, he led the league in PER in his first season.
Second year.
PER. My man was dominating.
What have you done for me lately? Like,
you know what? In about 2 weeks, we're going to answer that question when Ben Simmons kills it. And we got to remember that these guys are human beings. And unfortunately, we got used to the old ways where Guys just play ball no matter what. Now people care about their mental health. People care about their destinations. People like to eat certain foods. People like
that's
certain
what I'm saying. Like, the problem is he's always out of shape. Like,
and because of LeBron and James Harden and Kevin Durant, the player empowerment, and that this is how they do it. They, number one, they stop following your team on Twitter. They defriend your team. And number two, they get fat. And that's what he's doing. So,
yo, James Harden, if he doesn't excel, I think it's a sign of you know, the modern NBA player or like the hissy fit player.
Well, when you think about it, right? And this is, I mean, we're kind of moving away from the Knicks a little bit, but the CBA is coming up, right? And all these players are destroying the players' chances of getting anywhere near an equal settlement. It's not going to be equal. I think the owners, with everything going on with James Harden, with Ben Simmons, with Paul George, with Russell Westbrook, and the list goes on and on, where players have taken the power and have not done the right things with this power, which is hard because, you know, when you've never had power, you don't really know what to do with it. And then a guy like LeBron comes along and starts showing people what you can do with this power, and everybody starts taking liberties and doing things and making moves, and then deciding, oh, well, I got 4 years on my contract, but I don't want to play for your team. So I'm not going to play. And when that happens enough times, you know, CBA is not only settled in the boardroom. The public opinion plays a part in that too. And I don't know. It's going to be a rough. It's going to be a rough negotiation for the players.
I think that you're right. They're going to renegotiate the CBA, but I think that you're wrong in the fact that basketball is fastly approaching the most popular sport on the planet Earth. You know, right now, soccer's number one in America. Football is number one.
I said it was the most popular?
Soccer.
No. I said it was most popular.
I'm saying that it's fastly approaching one of the most popular sports on the Earth, mm-hmm. which means that they're making money. And they're making ridiculous amounts of money. And right now they share basketball related revenues 50-50. And that's not all revenue. That's just basketball related revenue. That's not like shirts and shit like that, right? The owners are making out, and you know, players are just saying that, you know, you may not make out on a day-to-day basis, but when you sell that team, you'll be a billionaire twice as much. Michael Jordan is a billionaire because he owns the Hornets. You know, my own boss bought the Milwaukee Bucks for $550 million. Today, it's worth $1.8 billion. You know what I'm saying? So they're making generational wealth based on the ownership of these franchises. So because of that, I don't think that they're going to mess around with the BRI, the basketball-related income share. But they're going to probably make it, because ultimately, it's not just the players. It's the team that is interacting with the players. They're going to put some punitive measures into the CBA so that the team that takes that player that wants to leave gets hurt. Either they lose draft picks or they lose compensation or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And maybe it's the right thing to do, because no one says anything about this in baseball. Baseball, it's a free market. You know, the Yankees could get any player on anywhere. They can pay a player $100 million and no one says anything.
There's no cap in baseball.
Yeah.
No salary cap.
Football, on the other hand, they treat the football players like straight up slaves, where their revenue sharing is like 60-40, where they get the 40. And football, for all the glitz and glory, you know, they don't have guaranteed contracts. Yeah. They have a average lifespan of 3 years. And then you have basketball. And what makes basketball different? Number one, primarily dominated by African-Americans. No helmets. You can see their faces, and they're becoming superstars. They're becoming personalities. Basketball is overtaking baseball. And no one says boo to baseball, maybe because of the white-black thing. Maybe because they think it's smart to be a baseball player. Maybe because they have legal laws where they where if there's an issue between a player and the owner, they go to arbitration. There's no arbitration in basketball, but a player is saying, "No, I wanna I sign my contract and I don't want to leave, so I'm gonna, you know, try to do I'm gonna defriend my team from on Twitter on social media. That's a big deal." And all of a sudden, we're messing around with the CBA. To me, it's kind of like there's some institutional racism going on there, and I don't appreciate it. And I really believe that. I really believe that the viewership looks at these players like, you know, like they should be doing whatever it takes for them to be on the team that they want to be on. This is a players' league. I don't watch the NBA because of the owners of the New York Knicks. I watched the NBA to see RJ Barrett score 30 points. I watched the NBA to hopefully see my Knicks win a championship. And I want my Knicks to be the best possible team they have out there. And if a player of the caliber of Zion Williamson is trying to maneuver his way to the New York Knicks, I'm all for
it. Not to New York.
With that being said, who is the player you think is going to flourish in the second half? Now let's start with you, Coach. Who's the guy that you think is going to flourish in the second half of the season? Who's your guy?
Kimba's out, so it's quickly show to lose. You know, like, it's literally quick. Do everything you can. And at this point, Burke still might close games until Derrick Rose is like 100%. But yeah, like obviously they want to give quickly as much room as possible, and Deuce will maybe get some minutes, but I don't see how that's possible, especially once Derrick Rose comes back. So like it's quickly show to lose. And then I guess if Burke spends more time at point, it opens up more minutes for Grimes and Cam Reddish. So we'll see what that's like. RJ had a decent run like before he got hurt. So if he picks up where he left off, that'd be great also. Julius Randle is always going to be the odd man out going forward. I think they got to figure out how to do away with him or like make him understand that he's a 18-9 guy and not a 25-10 like he was last year. So okay. Yeah, let's get quickly to 13-5 assists. I'll take that.
Okay, Wall Street. Who's your guy for the second half of the season?
Yo, I think one of the worst things that I've been seeing in sports history. I'm comparing this to like the Seattle Seahawks not running the ball with Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl and throwing that pick. I mean, this is just like the worst thing that I've seen is the level of green light that Evan Fournier has. I think that it has made the Knicks the hardest thing for me to watch, because it's disrespectful to basketball. I was up there watching the All-Star game, and I saw the 75 greatest players up there, and there was a moment where I sat down. I was like, man, I was thinking about when I was, you know, 11 years old, taking my first jump shots in Puerto Rico, like, yo, I really enjoy playing this game. And then, you know, learning who the Knicks were and watching John Stoss. I went to Allen Houston's 50-point game when he had it at the Garden. And I'm thinking about, you know, how basketball is connected to my life and how I love this game so much. And then I got to turn on the games and I got to see Tibbs allow Evan Fournier to take like 117 shots per game. Yo, this dude got the same level of confidence. The coach gives him the same level of confidence that you would have given Kobe or something like that. Like only Kobe was allowed to take those kind of shots. To be able to allow to take those kind of shots.
Here we go.
Yo, my son is sleeping. My son is fucking disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. I'm sick of it. You are not allowed to shoot like that. Me and Ed play ball on Mondays. Ed, We'll kick dudes out our gym, out the gym, if they start taking shots like this. So for the rest of the season, we're going to see this. And somebody is out there on the sideline. Every time Evan Fournier says, touches the ball, somebody's out there yelling, green light. You got the green light. Go get it, big boy. They telling him something that gives him the confidence to take these audacious shots. And my entire New York season, this year's entire season, can be defined as horrible shot selection. And you want to talk about fool's gold? Every time this dude hits two shots in a row, so now he's allowed to take the next 7 out of 10 shots. And then y'all want to blame it on Julius? Come on, man. You know who's gonna flourish? You know who's gonna flourish? Evan fucking Fournier, because he's gonna hit, because he's gonna hit about 250 three-pointers in the second half of the season, but he's gonna take like 750 shots to get there. Evan fucking Fournier.
Yo, hey, I don't know how you're gonna follow that. The floor is yours. Oh my god,
So who's going to flourish? I guess who I want to flourish is a comment to what, you know, what Heck said earlier. Who is RJ? You know, is he an all-star? We got 23 games to find out, man. I want RJ to flourish. You know, Derrick Rose is coming back, so we're going to have some stable point guard play. I also want Obi to flourish.
He's old,
OB and RJ are not old. And if OB flourishes, that does two things. Number one, maybe it's time to move away from Randall, trade him for other pieces. Or number two, it increases his trade value. And maybe we can get something good for OB, because they actually can't coexist. You know, Randall plays too many minutes and they have a differing style. RJ needs to show that he can show out. You know, RJ needs to really stamp his number one status on his team. I expect him not to just hit the three and stay behind the three-point line. I expect him to attack the rim with reckless abandonment. I want him to be the new Jimmy Butler, if possible. And I want him to play well, man. I hope those two guys flourish. Quickly, he's having a sophomore slump. That's the truth. Maybe he can break out of it, but I'm hoping he does as well, but I doubt it.
I mean,
and I got another comment, by the way.
Yeah.
You guys mentioned Allen Houston. And although we paid Allen Houston $100 million, and he may not have lived up to your standards, he gave me one of the favorite shots I've ever remembered since I was a kid.
Oh, man.
He sinked the Miami Heat and in the playoffs. That shit, yo, to this day, I think about that day, man. And because of that shot, he's worth every cent of that contract.
$100 million.
Shout out to Westchester.
Allen Houston, Joakim Noah, they're not still being paid, at least either by the Knicks or any team in the NBA. But you know who's still getting paid, by the way? Luol Deng. Luol Deng is still getting paid.
Chicago?
Yeah. No, from the Lakers. He's still getting paid. They have him on a $5 million increment for like the next 3 or 4 years.
How long was he in the league? He wasn't in the league that long, right?
He
played with the Bulls for a minute, and then he went to LA and then was like, I got hurt.
Did he get an all-star game? Didn't he make 1 year to the all-star game? He had a really good season. One season.
He was a snub. He was a snub, but he never made it.
One really good year.
Yeah.
Yo, how about Steph Curry in that all-star game?
Incredible. Well,
that's a great segue. So what was your favorite moment of the All-Star game? And since Ed, you segue to for us, what was your favorite moment of this week's All-Star? Well, let's pick a moment from the All-Star weekend. And if the All-Star game was where it was at for you, then you pick that. What was your favorite moment from the All-Star weekend? Was it Jalen Green missing all those dunks?
I mean, I gotta say that OB taking the slam dunk contest was my favorite moment. But damn, OB, can you slam it a little harder? Why are you trying to be finessing the dunk contest, man? I want you to power that shit. the dunk contest in itself, you know, I watched it. I watched it from a bar, and I was just shocked at how many misses these guys had. I mean, Jalen Green, he missed like a good 8-9 times. I thought you could only take 3 dunks. He missed like 8-9 times. These guys were, I saw the concept of what he was trying to do, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. And if he would have done it the first time, it would have been fantastic. Then you had Cole Anthony busting out that Greg Anthony jersey. Knicks was in a house with the Timbs, and he was another one that did like a 360 and couldn't land it. And then the other guy, Descano, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
You know, our OB kind of won it by default. OB did basic good dunks. The last dunk was really good. Unfortunately, you had to see it on replay to really appreciate it. But the number thing, you know, if he would have slammed it harder, people would be like, yo, his dunks were amazing. But he was just kind of like dropping it in without power. And I didn't like the fact that he didn't dribble the ball. He held it in his hand and didn't dribble the ball. I like when a dunker dribbles the ball.
Oh,
yeah, yo. On the corner, he held it in his hand. Yo, put the replay on. Push it and watch the All-Star game. Yo. Push it and watch the dunk contest. Yo, I'm a hooper, bro. I watch all that stuff.
Okay. Wall Street, favorite moment from this All-Star weekend, if you watched it.
Two things. The watching all the greats, the 75 greatest. And so if y'all go on YouTube and I've been looking at it, they have some great mic'd up moments from when the 75 greatest players were together. And there's so much on YouTube, and I love watching that stuff. Like, there's one moment where Jordan walks up to Magic and he's like, yo, look at this old man right here. And he goes, yo, where your sneakers at? I'll play you one-on-one right now. Serious, yo, you know how dope that is, bro. That was so dope. And then the other thing, and I'm surprised we didn't talk about it. I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Any chance we get Cole Anthony down the line? What's this guy's contract situation? Don't we need him? Don't we need him? I haven't really watched him play. But is he a starter? Don't we need this dude?
He can play. He can play.
But he's undersized,
but we need offense. We got, listen, if you put him next to RJ, if you put him next to RJ, you know, and then RJ, when teams come in that got, you know, one guard that they got a point guard, shooting guard that's hard to stop, like when Trey comes to town, you know, then you could switch RJ onto the point guard. But I don't know, man. But I looked at Cole and I'm like, because what we need is a little bit of firepower. That's what we thought that Kimba was going to bring us. And that's what we thought Evan was going to bring us. We're good on defense. And I thought that when we went out this year to go get firepower, we went too far. We try to get, you know, you just had to tweak it a little bit. You just had to create a couple of shots. And by bringing in Kimba and Evan Fournier, you just blew up the system, you know? You blew it up on both sides of the court. So now we're back to absolutely no identity. We have no idea who we are. We're completely back in rebuild mode. And I don't know what we're going to get out of next year. I don't even think that we got the pieces that we had last year to trade. I don't think anybody's going to want to trade with us. But I ask y'all again. Do we like Cole Anthony? And what's up with this dude's contract situation? What's going on? Because he wants to. He dunked in Tim's coach.
Big.
Missed the dunk.
Big Cole
Anthony. Took him a couple times.
Big Cole Anthony. Big Cole Anthony.
Yeah. Calling the Tim's dunk was a pretty dope moment. Obi winning the dunk contest was cool. But I'm like, yo, Dad, this is all we get this year? Is a dunk contest championship? Like we don't get nothing else as Knicks fans. Like, that's really disgusting. So Curry lighting it up was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it wasn't a lot. I think
the best moment was Scottie Barnes missing those layups, man. Like, that was hilarious. Like, you know, like I teach my kids all the time, like, yo, you know, work inside out, you know, always working your game. Don't overthink your warm up. You know, like, make sure you get every part of your warm up out the way first.
I thought you was teaching them the 5-step hard and step back.
No. Smack your face on the floor.
Skip all of that. So, like, that was, like, crazy to me. And, like, it's good for kids to see, like, yo, when you don't warm up properly or you don't, you know, take the proper channels, like, yeah, you got height and all of that, but always work on your touch. So, that was the moment, man.
Yo, so, I will say one other moment. You know, when Obi brought out his father was a big time baller in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Dunker's Delight. He was known for banging the ball. Yeah. And his sons banged the ball. And his youngest son won like a dunk contest in college. And then you have Obi Toppin plays for New York Knicks, a team that his father grew up rooting for. And now his son is in the dunk contest doing exactly what the father basically taught him to do. So from a parental standpoint, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. I definitely think
that was deep. That was deep for you guys. Maybe too deep for you guys. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Daniel. So, but hold on a second. All right. We go. Ed is muted. So Daniel, Daniel said, Cole, shout out to Clearview Daniel, Cole dunked in Tim's and a Knicks jersey. If that wasn't a, I can help y'all moment, I don't know what is. He definitely liked Steph Curry taking over in Cleveland, and LeBron finishing the shot in Cleveland. I seemed kind of scripted, but I definitely, you know, I enjoyed it for the most part. I think the theme of this weekend was like missing, the great misses. Because Jalen Green, that was one dunk that if he'd have made it, it was like, sheesh. But he missed it. And that was like, unfortunately, they may need to like push, forget putting the dunk contest at the end, because it's not the main event anymore. The three-point contest is the main
event. Shout out to Kat. Big man won the three-point contest.
You know? Yeah. Shout out to Kentucky, man. Kat.
Hey, Coach, I love Kat. I love Kat in a Knicks jersey, too.
Oh, no. I don't think that message.
Coach don't like nobody.
Yeah.
But he loves Kimba. He's ready.
I didn't say Kimba has to Kimba. Play. I never said, put Kimba back out there. I'm saying for 26 minutes, you get what you get. Like, that's it, period.
That's a lot of minutes.
Heck. I'm sorry. Can I cut it real quick? So I got to play ball with Coach, right? Yeah. You know why he loves Kimba? He plays exactly like Kimba. He's a shifty. He's a shifty point guard. That creates like space and shoots off the dribble. Like short. Literally, you know. I respect the game. He got good. He was balling. He was.
Viewers, don't be fooled. Coach is not that tall.
Coach was balling.
No, you're not that tall.
Coach was running the offense. He was putting people in their place. He was talking. He was getting through the pick. He was making passes and hitting jump shots. He literally is playing the Kimba Walker playbook, bro. Everything he got all of Kimba's moves. That's why
I got more effort defensively. But listen, Cat is doing okay. He's not it. Zion is definitely not it. Anybody that's not playing currently is not helpful to the team.
Currently and has a 25-24 PER. He's like a top 20 player.
He's having a good year. He's having a good year. But I've seen him have up and down. Like, give me 3 good years in a row, and then I say, all right, like, surefire thing.
He's only like 26.
Yeah.
We'll see what
happens. And he's half Dominican. Don't forget that.
Oh, that's your selling point.
Que lo que?
Karl Anthony Towns. That's Dominican.
What I liked also from the All-Star weekend, the 75, right, bringing them out brought up a lot of great memories of watching great basketball throughout the years. And then seeing like the new guys get added on. And I can remember when Shaq was added to the top 50, and there was like a bunch of crazy stuff put out. They were like, how does Shaq make the top 50? He's only been in the league 4 years, whatever. And it was just like, he was still in Orlando. I think he had like a broken foot or something like that. And I was just thinking like, man, like this kid, for what he's done in this 4 years, you know, for him, it wasn't about the what he, you know, in that short time, it's his potential. And look at what he went on to do. And also the shade, because regardless of anything, ball players, past, present, and future, Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas not talking. Isaiah Thomas purposely went up to Magic Johnson, said whatever he said in his ear, and then walked off. Didn't say nothing to Jordan. And I knew Jordan, the petty person that he is, was just like, yeah, it's all right. I beat y'all, so whatever. You know what I'm saying? And then
he's a hater though.
Pippen ducking the All-Star Weekend period. Cause he should have been there. He ducked it. It's like, you know, he definitely gets the sucker award for the weekend. Cause you know, you're gonna write a book, be mad enough to see that man in his face and just say, yeah, what's up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
Kevin Garnett giving shade to Ray Allen.
But they took pictures together. They took a picture together. Yeah, Israel.
But there was a point. There's a meme coming out where Ray Allen did a shit pan. He started like looking in the sky.
Nah, I mean it was awkward. But that was a time where you know you didn't switch sides. You didn't go play for the team that beat you.
I will say this to your point: the players in yesteryear had more personality than they have today. You know what I'm saying? Like today, it may be the disease of social media where everyone's in your grill. But back then we had Gary Payton, we had Michael Jordan, we had Larry Bird, we got Max Johnson. Guys wanted to entertain us.
Yeah, you whatever what it was, it was genuine. Like or dislike, it was all genuine.
Exactly. Now you have like Kevin Durant that's like, don't talk to me. You know, you got a lot of standoffish figures. And that and it comes through on the big screen when they're all together. Like, you know, KD wasn't there, but you know, James Harden was like in the background.
Yeah.
Like it was when weird. Michael Jordan came out, it was like, yo, Jordan's here. You know, when Isaiah had the flash of his smile, his deathly stare, Magic lit up the room. You know, those superheroes of ours from yesteryear was like,
oh my God.
Yo, these guys are like, you know, even Shaq out, like, I'll crank it on you guys.
Yeah.
Loved it, man.
And Jordan threw shade to Barkley, didn't say nothing to him.
He didn't?
He's like, nope, said nothing. Yeah, he said, and Barkley's since said, like, yo, I shouldn't have said what I said, but it's too, like, Jordan holds grudges. But he's the same dude that created a story about a player that wasn't even in the league at the time when the grudge happened. And, you know, in his mind, it happened, but, you know, it's whatever. But, you know, there was great basketball played at that time. And like Coach said, it was genuine. Like, we don't talk. It is what it is. Like, we not cool. We not cool now. We may never be cool. And it is what it is. Like, dudes, I'll hit you now. You know, now it's like they do that weird shoulder jab or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they don't want to hit you, so they'll do the whatever. I don't even know what that is. It's like a nervous twitch or something. But it was a great thing, and the NBA definitely being one of the leagues that takes care of its players and their legacies. So I thought it was a great show. You know, especially you know, I don't think it was a mistake to bring out Michael Jordan last. I think, you know, it was rightly deserved, him being the last person. And, you know, I don't know. It was a great show nonetheless. I had some people telling me that Jordan shouldn't have been. I see you.
some people Coach Kemba Walker.
Like even I don't know.
Byron Walker.
Yo, heck. When I was watching Coach play, I see him throw his little crossover and step back, and I was like, yo, no wonder this dude loves Kemba.
Out to the Bronx, man.
Yo, question for you guys. This was another weekend where someone asked LeBron a question and he said that he was the greatest player ever. To this day, I have yet to hear Michael Jordan call himself the greatest player ever. In fact, Michael Jordan says, you know, that's really unfair to the guys that came before me. You know, it's hard to call one person the greatest player ever. On the flip, someone asked Jordan, and he was like, yo, after the Cavaliers series, you know, I came back from 3-1, and I could guard 1-5. I'm literally the greatest player ever. So there was a point when Michael Jordan and LeBron came at each other, and Michael looked at him like, nigga, you know the greatest player ever is.
It's a generational thing.
LeBron is super arrogant, and it's like as nice, and you know, it's kind of phony the more you think about it, you know, as humble as he pretends to be, like to call yourself the GOAT, like, and Jordan, who was really arrogant, you know, I did all of this, he would never do that. Like, yo, I'm not the greatest, like you know what I'm saying?
Well,
Jordan, pay homage to everything that came before him.
Because the truth was that Bird and Magic built the league, gave Jordan his platform to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
But Bird and Magic were the ones that made the league forget about the drug use and all of the player mishaps that were going on during the 80s. Because there was Michael Ray Richardson, Knicks legend, would be out doing cocaine at the clubs. And then be like, yo, I got to practice. I got to get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the sum of the 80s. So you got guys, you know, Magic brought Showtime to the West Coast. Bird brought that hardworking mentality to the East Coast. And, you know, I mean, listen, they said it. And, you know, Michael Jordan always gives that prop. But to LeBron's defense, he takes so much criticism. In an era where there's so much access to you, and you know, and I've been on some of the things, I've seen it where he'll post something on Twitter talking about an endeavor supporting a food drive or supporting a Boys and Girls Club, and 8 or 9 comments down, someone will be like, fuck your mom, LeBron. And it's like, damn, dude, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, let this dude live. He ain't even talking basketball. Like, you know, so for him to endure all that, I'm not saying that he should have said that because I don't think it's correct. I don't think it's, you know, I think you let the people decide. And the people are 50-50 about it because the people, it's like the older people that watch Jordan and you got the newer people that watch LeBron. And it's a fair assessment. I mean,
but he's dropping he's on the LeBar Ball train. He's throwing it into existence, which is a good way to do it. You know, he does have 100 million followers. So the more he says it, the more people are going to say it and the more it becomes reality. You know, truth be told, he is 1A, maybe 2, I don't know, but he is an amazing basketball player for everything he's done. He's going to lead the league, you know, in points
scoring.
And everything. He's going to be one of the most dynamic playmakers that the league has ever had. My only qualm is he should not be judging his performance himself. He should let the masses judge it. And he should be a little bit more humble when it comes to that and not take every opportunity to shout it out to not do the LeVar Ball.
Preach.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what makes him unlikable at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Totally. I agree. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think at this point I was watching. So I was, while you guys were talking, there was this great, someone surmised what the Knicks should do for this season. And I was like, yo, I got to share this with y'all. This is what the Knicks should do for.
To the Garden.
Like blow up the team. Blow up the team. Get the season's over. That's what
I don't hate that idea. So,
2 years ago today, I was
lost. But that was Kemba in the plane.
That was Kemba in the helicopter.
Shout out to Clearview. Shout out to Clearview. This was his idea, by the way.
Clearview been on the road, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, what were you saying, coach?
Have you been on the road? He was talking about it, and he showed me LeBron and Bronny in Cavaliers jerseys. Yo, yeah. LeBron made it so Bronny goes at least top two, if not number one, because this is gonna be a package deal. So who wouldn't draft the boy number one to take LeBron during his farewell tour? Like, he's gonna be top three just for that alone.
I'll say this much: LeBron's gonna be like 39, 40.
Still worth every penny.
Yeah, I guess.
He just made his son into a draft pick. His son's gonna be a first round draft pick because any team that drafts him gets LeBron, even at 39, he hasn't really slowed down. He's a top five scorer. He's in a top 20 assist person.
Could you imagine what team doesn't want LeBron for his farewell tour?
He's
bet. And that's insane. The Pistons
are going to get it. The number one draft pick.
Listen.
Bronny James.
Man. If Bronny James goes to Cleveland, I don't care what anybody says. It is a fix. You know what I mean? Like, it is. I don't care.
The only problem with Bronny James and the NBA is he's currently, I just heard this today, he's currently the 34th ranked junior.
Oh, he went up.
Yeah, he went up. You know, he was like 50
he's not
something.
The 34th ranked best player currently. He's a 34th ranked junior.
Yeah.
He's still only 6'3". He's 16 and a half, close to 17 years old.
I've watched his games. Nothing stands out about
him. He's good. He's very good. Yeah, he's good. He definitely needs
nothing stands out about
3 inches more to be like a NBA big time player.
I don't think so. I mean, Russell Westbrook's 6'3".
He's not a
point guard.
He's not Russell. Yeah, he's a point guard.
He don't play like a point guard.
Yeah. He don't play like Russell Westbrook.
But he doesn't. No, right. But I'm saying nothing really stands out about him. So, I mean, you could give him, you could make him 7 foot.
He makes good plays. He's good.
He's a good, like, role player. But
he's not the best person
on
his team.
The best player on his team is Amari. Exactly. What's his name? Yeah, the kid. You know what I'm talking about, Coach. Yeah. Amari.
Bailey.
Hooper.
Bailey. Amari Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey.
The dude that Drake was hollering at his mom.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like he's good, but there's nothing about him that screams top like lottery pick to me.
But if he was 6'9" and had those skills, he'd be amazing. So 6'3" with those skills, you know, that's what you expect.
Yeah, they'd be saying that the potential, you know, he's got Magic Johnson type skills and all this other stuff. And
because he does play like LeBron, he plays just like him, he passes like him. He shoots better than him. I saw a video online that kind of compares LeBron and him at the same age. He shoots way better than LeBron. He could bang it too. He has good athleticism. LeBron had more, but LeBron's size was just, you know, that was the biggest difference. And LeBron could do all those things and the vision at that size. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Not that Bronny can't grow, but 6'3", 17, he may grow another inch. Maybe.
Yeah. I remember LeBron James being at the McDonald's All-American and his size stood out. He looked like a grown man compared to everybody else that was there. And the announcers, I remember the announcers laughing because they were like, LeBron James in college. And then they just started laughing. They were like, yeah, I don't think he's got a college degree in his near future.
Like, what he should do is he should go to Duke. He should go to Kentucky to play with those guys. You know, I don't know. These guys.
That's his only offer right now, by the way. Kentucky is his only offer right now.
Yeah, and that's a great offer. Like, some of these guys have been foregoing college, like Dwayne Wade's son. Dwayne Wade's son was kind of trash. I mean, he chose the non-college route, went to the G League, and Dwayne Wade had to buy an ownership interest in the Utah Jazz to get him on the G League team.
That's how he got drafted.
If he would have went to DePaul, he could have been playing. He could have been starting. He could have been, you know, doing something, and his name would have been.
Get in the office.
Yeah, he got DePaul. DePaul.
He did get DePaul.
Yeah, he got DePaul. And it wasn't like Dwayne Wade went to an amazing, you know, major college.
He went to Marquette.
So like, these guys are kind of poo-pooing on these college scholarships, but in reality, you could be. You got to work at it. Some of these guys don't work at it the way they think they do, but their dads worked at it because their dads were sacrificing everything. These guys have everything in front of them, so they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to put in the time. They don't want to get yelled at by a college coach. They don't want to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and run around the reservoir like five times. You know what I'm saying? They want to go to the G League. They want to play their PlayStations. They want to count their dad's monies. And they want their dads to put in the good work so that they get drafted. But, you know, I wish Bronny all the success. I think he's a smart kid. You know, he actually is a player in the, like, the virtual
He's the market. He's with the, I forget what team, but they're like a top three online 2K team.
Yeah. FaZe, the kid's legit. I mean, he's smart,
FaZe man. FaZe Clan.
Yeah, he's those smart, kids are, and I like those his dudes game.
Are nice. I played online against those kids. Like, just like, they were just like, just walk, and those kids are like, yeah, it's...
They're amazing.
They're disgusting in that game. But anyhow, great show, guys. Appreciate y'all. We got Clearview. Thank you for showing up. Tiffin Smith, new to the STK gang.
Tiffin, right, Smith. Tiffin Smith, what's up?
All right, hey. Tiffin, appreciate you showing up. Kanal, as always, day one. Appreciate you.
Shout out the gang.
Fellas, any last words? Okay, anybody can go first.
Free Obi, priority number one. I feel bad for Kimball, man. Free Obi, man. RJ, keep shooting.
Next week's show, we're going to break down America's 10 best sandwiches.
Yeah, and here's a little preview. Pastrami ain't it. Pastrami ain't here in the top 10. They're like the Knicks. They're right outside.
I want the number 10 spot.
Pastrami ain't make the play-in.
Number 10 spot be my personal favorite.
I bet you chopped cheese is on that. And chopped cheese has to make it. Especially from you from New York, chopped cheese better be on that list. Chopped cheese in Arizona.
Is that a New York thing, no? That's a Philly thing.
Chopped cheese?
You kidding me?
Cheese steak and a chopped cheese think the same.
What, bro?
They really not doing.
What's 16 really doing, bro? Come on, man.
That's the next sandwich I get a chopped cheese sandwich.
You're telling your age, Ed. Telling your age.
I'm getting old. I'm getting old.
Who brought this guy on the show, man? Chopped cheese is from where? Oh, come on, man. You better than that.
Yo, fire Tibbs, yo.
Look, I have my hit Tibbs moment. I can't.
Tibbs can't
add any other fuel to that fire. Like,
Tibbs got to go. Worldwide West is like, yo, Tibbs. You out of here.
Yeah, it's a valid point.
As long like, as what? He's there, we're in trouble.
Like, what else can we do?
Chopped cheese, else? Huh? Chopped cheese.
Oh, man.
We're going. That's what we want to do, man. Well, listen, we're going to do after the game.
on March 18th, when we hang out, you're going to get a chopped cheese. You're going to get a chopped cheese. You're going to be in the neighborhood. Fellas, viewers, appreciate y'all for showing up, my brothers. Peace. As always, keep it up and thank y'all for subscribing out there. Keep subscribing. Yes. Love y'all and peace out. We'll see y'all next week.
I'll be active.
Hey, just heck, thanks right, so much, y'all. Man.
No doubt, show, fellas. Brothers, peace.
Later.